there's a bunch of stuff on here that I've given the last couple of weeks, but really haven't highlighted, and hope to highlight that today. But it's from a book called Lost in America, and how our culture is changing, and we don't have the, Christian heritage like we used to. And one of the authors is a pastor. His name's Tom Clegg. And he was on the East Coast in a town. And he thought, you know what? I want to do what I know is the right thing to do. Jesus died for all people. And it's our job, right, to take the gospel to all people. And so I want to get involved in the lives of people who don't claim to know Jesus, and look for ways to connect and intersect. And he befriended the chief of police. He just got that position. And Tom said he didn't know what he was doing as chief of police, new position, and I didn't know what I was doing as pastor, and we really got along. And he also befriended a lady, because as a pastor, you tend to get involved this with a lady from Family and Child Services. He also connected with a school administrator. And the fourth person he really connected with was a waitress, a little restaurant there in the community that a lot of people would go to. And he built into their lives. He loved them. He showed them Jesus, you know, with skin on. And at a certain point, he finally asked the question, would you be willing to follow Jesus along with me? And every one of them said, no, thank you. And he asked each one if they would be willing to come to church and share from the pulpit why they don't want to follow Jesus. So, first Sunday, the chief of police came. And he shared, you have no idea how it feels as a police officer to hear over the radio there's domestic violence, because we know there's more chances of getting shot and killed at a domestic violence call than it is at a bank robbery. You don't know what it's like. He says, but you know what? I've been in a lot of your homes at 3 o'clock in the morning, and you people who go to church are no different than the people who don't. Next week, the lady who is administrator at Child and Family Services, who made no bones about it, she was an angry, feminist, lesbian. And she said, I don't want to follow Jesus because my dad was a pastor. And the Jesus of the Bible was not the Jesus of my home. And then the school administrator came the third week and shared, you know, the struggles that probably, you know, the teachers and the school and students and all that's going on. He says, you know why I'm not a follower of Jesus? It's because when I look at Christians, all I see is what they're against. I don't know what they're for. Fourth week, the waitress came. The waitress says, is okay if I bring two of my fellow waitresses? And the pastor said, sure, bring them. So these three waitresses got up, and before she spoke, the three of them began singing Amazing Grace and just this beautiful harmony. And then she said, do you know why I don't come to church? It's because after church, you folks come to my restaurant, and you're the most rude, the most gossiping, the most demanding, the least tipping, and your kids are out of control. I don't see it. Whew. Father, in Jesus' name, help us to hear that we could be the biggest stumbling block. And Lord, we pray for that chief of police and the children and family services worker and the school administrator and the waitress, because one day they're going to have to stand before you. And they're going to have to give an account for their own lives to help them, Lord, to see that you have died for them too, and that they are sinners too, just like us. And then, Lord, on the other side, help us be the church, be the salt, be the light. Help us to live, Lord, for you, like you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Let's stand up and read what it's supposed to be, how God made us. It's from Acts chapter 2. So you can either look up there or look down here. I don't care. But it's the very first scripture. Acts chapter 2. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone, I think that means just not the people who were Christians, but everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and signs were being performed through the apostles. Now, all the believers, notice the word all, so neat. Now, all the believers were together and held all things in common. They sold their possessions and property and distributed the proceeds to all as any had need. I think it was beyond the church, just not those who fellowshipped. Every day they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple and broke bread from house to house. They ate their food with joyful and sincere hearts, praising God and what? Enjoying the favor of all the people. If the police chief had been there, would he have had that same response? If the lady and the children, you hear what I'm saying, that there was this favor. Every day, the Lord added to their number those who are being saved. Father, that's your word. That's what you've made us for. Help us to live it. Help us to do it. Help us to be it. Help us to not be afraid. Thank you. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Let's do it. This is God's word. It might have to go backwards. This is God's word. It's God's authority over me. It's God telling me who I am and what I'm to do. I will read it, obey it, and share it to be close to Jesus and to bring others to Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Give each other a tap or something and take a seat. You've heard that the biggest reason why people say they don't want to go to church, they don't want to believe in Jesus, is because it's just a bunch of hypocrites. And, you know, it's like, okay, but wow. He got in the lives of four people, and every person said the same thing. So, Lord, help us be different. Amen. Help us to live the life. Help us to do what's good. And it's just an amazing thing here in the book of Acts. You know, we have the first Christians in chapter 2. We have the first leaders in Acts chapter 6. It says, select from among you seven men of what? Good reputation, full of the Spirit and wisdom. So the word of God spread, and the disciples in Jerusalem increased greatly in number, and a large number of priests and became obedient to the faith. You know, God is looking for us to be good. What is it, the Marines looking for a few good men? Did they still even advertise it like that? Probably not. But God wants us to be good. Now, you know, when I pick this up, I'm looking for somebody good. Matthew Knapp. Wow, what a coincidence. Bro, this is totally unrehearsed. We got the trim. What are you and I planning to do with the trim?
Gonna attempt to finish the drum room, the outside of the drum room.
Thank you. That's good.
You heard attempt, right?
Yeah. But how are we going to try to do that? Who are we going to try to?
We're going to bring my cousin who hasn't been at church for a while and include him. So, yeah. The more people, the better, right?
Right. Amen. And what did we promise, Doug? Did we make a promise to him?
Maybe.
That for every hour that he put in, we'd help him?
Oh, help him with his. So, yes, that every hour that he works here, we would help him with his projects because he's got a lot on his plate.
Amen. That is good. Isn't that good? Hallelujah. This is carpenter evangelism. This is so neat. Oh. We need to be good. And I'm hoping this is communicating here. Get connected to Jesus. Get filled up with him. And this will, what did Jesus say? When you abide in me, you will do what? You will bear fruit. Matthew and I, we had that discussion about this. this is just how it felt to me, bro. It felt like it was coming from the inside out. You know, you say, hey, maybe we could get Doug. I want him to be here as much as he can be. Oh, yeah. Oh, man, Matthew, maybe how about if we offer to help him, if he helps us? Oh, yeah, it just came, didn't it? It was so neat. Let me keep reading. Stephen, the first martyr. Now, Stephen, full of grace and power. When you connect to Jesus, that's what happens. Full of grace and power, was performing great wonders and signs among the people. So just not the apostles were doing miracles. Lord, bring it down. Sherry, you had that dream of miracles happening. Lord, please. And all who were sitting in the Sanhedrin, so they pulled Stephen in front of the Sanhedrin, and all who were sitting in the Sanhedrin looked intently at him and saw that his face was like that of an angel. Let's just stop there for a second. One time when I thought I was going to be getting fired and I had to meet with the board, this is back in 1989 or so. After it was all over with, the chairman said, you know, when you came in, you were green. You know, but, you know, the blood was, you know, was pooling wherever it pools when you're scared and nervous. Here's Stephen ready to get stoned and his face is shining like an angel. Hallelujah. Because he's connected. I would have been like, you know, they would have seen my face quivering and white. But no, his face was shining like an angel. Stephen, full of the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, so neat, gazed into heaven. Now, here's these guys ready to kill him. And he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. He said, look, I see the heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. They yelled at the top of their voices, covered their ears together, and rushed against him. While they were stoning Stephen, he called out, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. He knelt down, because you're getting pummeled with rocks and boulders here. He knelt down and cried out with a loud voice so that they could hear it. Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And after saying this, he died. Wow. Man, I want to be like that. Do you want to be like that? Full of the Holy Spirit. And when somebody starts, you know, friend day's coming up. And I've been going around visiting and inviting people. And I'm realizing that I just need to be bolder. And I said, I was visiting a couple, and I said some things, and the guy literally turned to his wife like, can you believe he just said that? And it was like, yeah, I did just say that. I want to see. It was just so, I mean, let's get bold, amen? Now, if I get stoned, Lord, make it quick and easy. I thought about doing this, Jared, but we won't. But couldn't you imagine? I wanted some of you big guys to just pick up Jared, and Jared, you just start going, I see Jesus. I see Jesus. I mean, that's what Stephen was saying. They're ready to kill him. Go, can't you see him? Look, look, he's right. Oh, amen. Give us that kind of spirit. I'm looking for somebody good. On Monday of this last week, doing my pastor's report for us as elders here this Monday, and I list people who've been missing. And after I finished the list, I felt the Holy Spirit just saying, can you text them? And so I texted everybody who'd been missing. And then after I got all my reports done and all that, then I felt the Holy Spirit saying, can you just go visit them? So I went and got bread and went and visited. So one of the people I went to visit was April. And when I knocked on the door, she said,
I said, well, that was a little bit weird because just immediately before, Maddie and I had been talking, like literally when the doorbell rang, we were talking about how Pastor Ken had both texted us and wanted to check and see if we were okay and needed anything. And as we were having that talk, the doorbell rang. That wasn't the only thing either. Over the past week, I had many people contact me, Barb, Jim, Kelsey, a couple others, Pastor Ken. And when he came at that moment, I was like, did you put me on a prayer chain? And he was like, no, they all did it at the same time, the same week. I was like, okay.
Isn't that awesome? I mean, who did that? It says in Ephesians chapter 2 that we are God's workmanship. That idea of workmanship is like we are his handcrafted masterpiece. We're his symphony. We are precious to him. And he has saved us by grace through faith. It's not from ourselves. It's a gift of God. We're his workmanship created in Christ Jesus to what? To do good works that he has prepared ahead of time. So Barb, Kelsey, Jim West, some others, you stepped in. You didn't know what you were doing, just like I didn't know what I was doing. But you were obedient in the moment. Wow, who did that? Jesus. So, so neat. And then the next one. So we have the first Christians, the first leaders, the first martyr. The word good keeps getting repeated. The first one raised from the dead, Tabitha, in Acts chapter 9. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha. She was always doing good works and acts of charity, showing him the robes and clothes that Tabitha had made while she was with him. So they call Peter, and the widow show Peter the robes and the clothes. So here's this lady who was about doing good. And she was, I don't know whether she was knitting or sewing or weaving, whatever, but she was making robes and clothes. Do you understand that in this culture, most people only had one set of clothes? And so this is huge stuff. She was probably a woman of wealth to be able to even do that, and she was using what she had to meet needs of those around her. Maybe she made a little baby thing for every, you know, infant that was born. Maybe if you were down or whatever, you know, and when Peter came, the widows were holding the very clothes that Tabitha had made for them. Wow. Wow. We need to be good, amen? We need to use what we have. Chuck, what did you bring to April's house yesterday?
Oh, I bought a dump trailer and a mid-sized backhoe.
Yes. Diana, where are you? She's in the nursery. She said, you know, these bushes are too tall. They need to come out. Oh, Chuck, are we glad we had your backhoe? Man, and it driving back out and looking back at the house from the road, oh, amazing. Now we need to get bushes in there at some point, but yeah. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Use what you have, and it's good. Cornelius, first Gentile convert, there at the bottom. He was a devout man and feared God along with his whole household. He did many charitable deeds for the Jewish people and always prayed to God. Now, Cornelius, I think this is really neat. Now, Cornelius called together his relatives and close friends, and they came. They weren't like the chief police or that lady who worked for children's services or the school administrator or the waitress, because Cornelius was a different person. And when Cornelius spoke, they listened. Man, if you think you have a message from God, we're in, because we see what you're like and what you do. And while Peter was still speaking these words, how forgiveness is through faith in Jesus, the Holy Spirit came down on all who heard this message, because there was a good man. Do you guys get nervous every time I pick it? Do you really? I don't know where this is going, but this is where I feel like I'm supposed to go. Joe and Lindsay. You guys, to me, are good. You love the Lord. You've opened your home with the life group. You want to be a witness at school, in your neighborhood, here at church. Thank you. Does anybody want to say something good about Joel and Lindsay? guys are awesome. Amen. Give them a hand. Yes. Thank you. You're good. It's weird, isn't it? Do you want to say anything?
No.
Wow. Go to the back. And when Peter was preaching to Cornelius and his friends, one of the things that Peter brought out in Acts 10 was how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And he went about doing what? Doing good. And healing all who are under the tyranny of the devil because God was with them. When Jesus told the story of the Good Samaritan. And the point of that story is that the priest and the Levite saw a man in need, but they were scared, they were busy, they didn't want to become unclean, whatever. They had an agenda, they had a schedule. But the Samaritan went over and helped the man with what he had. I'm sure it wasn't convenient, I'm sure it wasn't in his schedule. And I want to say some things. I want us to talk for a second. What keeps us from being good? Pride. Keep going. Well, okay. I didn't expect an immediate answer. That was good. Okay. How does pride stop?
Well, pride makes you're focusing on self rather than others. So I guess to beat all the rhetoric from the four people you acknowledged that said they wouldn't want to come, the best thing to do is humble yourself, beat them to the punch. That's why when they, you know, we're supposed to boast about Jesus, not in self. So we acknowledge that we do wrong. Like when people ask me, how am I doing? I, Dave Ramsey thing, say I'm better than I deserve, because I am. But I'm also filled with the Holy Spirit. So like you said, we are to be bearing fruit in love, but at the same time, make sure you're humbling yourself.
Amen.
So that people are not, you already take their guard down when you're already telling them you know you don't deserve to go to heaven.
Right.
But, and when they ask, you know, it's better to boast in Jesus rather than you think you're going to heaven. Like most people you would ask in here, they'd say, yeah, I believe I'm going to heaven. But I say, I don't know I'm going to heaven. What I do know is if Jesus is real, then I know I'm going to heaven. Because my focus is on him, not on a place that we're to go to. Our focus is who we want to be with. So just humbling yourself is a big,
Amen.
Big
That's
factor
good.
In witnessing.
Yeah. Yeah. And to say, hey, I am sorry for us as Christians. We are hypocrites. But Jesus is the answer, and we're, Amen. I want you to turn to your neighbor just for a second. What keeps you from doing good? What keeps you from serving? Just think about that. Let me give you what I heard. And this is so neat. With doing this, the work day for April, that was really spur of the moment. And so did a phone tree, but also went through the directory. And this is something different. I think I'm hearing from the Lord here on this, but I mean, how many of you work 60 hours a week or more? Go ahead and raise your hand. Okay, it's not as many as I thought, but there's about like 6, 7, 8 people. And as I was going through that list, I'm thinking, they are already doing so much. I'm not going to call them. And then others who I felt maybe had a little more of a window. Anyway, this is what I heard when I did talk with people. Number one, they had work. How many of you don't have a Monday to Friday job? Hey, look around. That's around 15, 20. Had work. Another one I heard. We got sports. How many of you have sports? It's not a disease, maybe. Okay, about, 12 or so. Work, sports. Boy, I can't think of any other good excuses. But how many of you are behind at home? You have stuff you have to do at home. Now, nobody told me that. Nobody told me. Nobody said, well, I got stuff I have to do at my own house. Nobody said that to me. But what was also really neat was with sending out the phone tree, I had several people call me or text me and say, I am so sorry I can't make it. I thought that was so neat. But I think our busyness is one of the reasons why we're afraid to do good. We're afraid to serve. How much time is this going to take? And what's it going to cost? Right? Amen. So just take a second, turn to your neighbor. What keeps you from serving? What keeps you from doing good? All right. Anybody have a good insight, or their neighbors gave a good insight? What keeps you from serving? What keeps you? Rain. Yeah, yesterday, I mean, it was supposed to be, I forget, 10% rain at 7 o'clock. 10 o'clock, 0%. When did it start pouring? 10 o'clock. Oh, it came down. But at least it was warm, and we stayed out there, and we did it. What keeps you from serving? Time. That busyness thing. Yeah. Yeah. Distractions. By distractions, you mean? From outside. Yeah. Oh, isn't that the truth? Distractions from Satan. Selfishness. No excuse. Amen. No excuse. Lack of awareness, too, right. And then when we are aware, I do want to, yeah, we're not aware, and then when, I hear this a lot, well, if you had told me that sooner, you know, and then the next time, I with that person, okay, I'm going to tell them a week ahead of time. Well, I already have plans. But yeah, there is lack of awareness. There is. Amen. But no, that let's talk about that for a second. That's hard. I mean, right. And I'm sure, you know, we'll get it. We'll get it. No. I mean, it was. Yeah. Yeah. And it's hard. Yeah, it is. It's hard. It takes grace to give, but it takes, I think, even more grace to receive. Susie, you said it, that she has a lot of... Have you ever been to Joel and Susie's house? I mean, they have a lot of work to do. And anyway, she said, you know what? She could have worked in her garden, but it was so much more satisfying. And it's kind of, Matthew, like what you said about that article, we're hardwired to serve. We're made to get pleasure out of giving. Sherry, looks like you had something to say.
Josh Allison was over yesterday visiting with the boys, and he shared with me last night that being part of that yesterday was the most beautiful thing for him. He just absolutely loved and adored it. And he said, why are we not real? Which links with our ladies' Bible study right now. But he said, why are we not real, and why can't we say what we really need or how we really feel?
Yeah, yeah. Amen, amen, amen. And along those lines, April, I had to ask you, I think, three times, please let us. Oh, no, please let us. Please, as your pastor, can I please? Or okay. You have to persevere. Oh, that's right. Maddie, what did you say? Do you remember?
She said, Mommy, just say yes.
Isn't that great? Isn't that good? Speaking of good, Gene and Jerry were there. Now, I did not call Gene and Jerry. Not personally, but just the phone tree. But I did not. You guys, you serve, and I'm thinking, and you show up. Thank you. Jean, I mean, this woman gets on her knees and weeds like crazy. Jerry, you were trimming stuff at your sword today, right? Not too bad. So, hallelujah. I mean, we had people who are in their 80s, and some teens came. It was so good. It's so good. To the next, Barnabas. When he arrived and saw the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged all of them to remain true to the Lord with devoted hearts. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and large numbers of people were added to the Lord. The word good in the Greek has the idea of beautiful. As a Christian, are you living right? You need to live right. Obey the Ten Commandments. Amen? I mean, but good is more than just doing right. Good is doing what's beautiful. Like you just said, Sherry, when Josh saw, I was like, this is good. Not just right. It's good. Yeah. That's about it. It always sounds like angels are coming down when that thing. And then the last one, Ananias. Someone named Ananias, now Paul's giving his testimony, a devout man, that's the right part, a devout man according to the law, who had a good reputation with all the Jews living there, came and said, Brother Saul, receive your sight. So God wants us to be good, amen? And he's given us the Spirit, he's given us the Word, he's given us opportunities, he has it mapped out. So go out and be good. Tom Clegg, the pastor here, at the close of his book, talked about going to Virginia Beach, and we've vacationed there a lot. Virginia Beach, there's a shoal that when the weather's really bad, the waves come and they beat ships against that shoal, and then it obliterates and people drown, and then the current switches and takes people out to sea. And so it was a very, very dangerous area. And back before the days of motorized boats, there were the Coast Guard that had a life station there at Virginia Beach. And these are long, skinny boats that they have to get into with very long oars. And we've been at that beach, and Steph and I should have gotten out of the water, but we didn't. I mean, it's 10-foot waves coming in. It was wonderful for surfing. It was just, ha-ha. But anyway. These guys have to go against waves 10, 12, 15 feet high. And the pictures, the boats are almost perpendicular trying to get, because if they can just get past the breakers, they can get out to where the ship is and save people. And many Coast Guard died trying to rescue others. And there was the sign above the door that said this, you got to go out. You don't have to come back. And that should be our heart, amen? We got to go out. We might be made fun of. We might be rejected. We got to go out. We don't have to come back. Let's pray. Father, Lord, thank you. Minister to us. Help us, please. Help us to be good by abiding in Jesus. Lord, help us when we feel that soft inner touch and you're telling us to say something or do something. Help us to not be afraid in that moment. And Lord, with the whole thing about us being busy, Lord, forgive us, Lord, forgive us, forgive us. And being proud. Lord, again, pray for the policeman, the social worker, the school administrator, the waitress, Lord, the ones that we know. Help us to be Jesus with skin on in their lives. Help us, like Steve brought out, help us to be able to say, Lord, or to them, we're sorry. And we as Christians, lots of times, man, we really do blow it. But that's not Jesus' way. Please join him and let's do this thing together. Lord, you've made us in your image. If we've come to know you, you've made us again in Christ. And you've set things out for us to do. We pray in Jesus' name, not in a sense of fear, but a sense of joy and faith We follow you, Lord. Your yoke is easy. Your burden is light. Thank you. If you don't know Jesus, please accept him. Know that he has a plan for you that is good, and he wants to use you for his glory. He wants to use you to bring others into the kingdom as well. And it starts with just a real simple, Lord Jesus, I need you. Lord Jesus, take over. I believe you died and you rose again for me and my sin. You're praying that for the first time, and you mean, you know, business with Jesus. Did you raise your hand and say, yeah, Pastor Ken, I'm asking Jesus into my life. I want to be good. I want to serve others. I want to be forgiven. Thank you, Lord. Thank you as we partake of communion and we look at what you have done for us, that we will confess our sin, but also get the point that you've forgiven us of our sin and you dwell inside of us as we eat the bread and take the cup. Thank you, Lord. Minister to us, I pray. Thank you. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Amen, amen. So, men, if you begin gathering, we're going to give you some different instructions here. With communion today, the deacons, who are good, want to serve you. And so some of you have the gluten-free, I mean, you need to, gluten intolerant. So in the center of the bread plate, there's a little cup that has gluten-free communion in it. So if you want to do it that way, please, that way you don't have to come forward or go to a special place. And I'd also like you to look at this blue sheet. We've been different colors, but I'd like you to really think through what God is calling you to do. You know, we're partaking of Christ's sacrifice for us, and then this is our sacrifice for him. So please fill that out. We'll collect it at the end.